didn't get surprised that time.
Nope.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, July the 10th, 2023. Feels very weird saying that in my head. It is still February. However, look, the passage of time is a flat circle.
Yes.
I'm Lucy James, taking over hosting duties for today. Yeah. And joining me, the one, the only, Devante Chisholm.
Hello, everyone.
From GameSpot. Now, Devante, this is very weird. Because you and I have worked together.
Yes.
For 2 years. And we met for the first time 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, 30 minutes ago. Multiple projects, you know, Slacks back and forth, meetings and stuff. It feels like I already have met you. Mm-hmm. But yes, this is the very first time. And it's such a pleasure to be here right now and doing this with you.
This is your first time, obviously, in the Kinda Funny studio.
Yes.
For those at home who don't know you, give us a little bit about your story. Who are you?
Okay, so I'm Devante Chisholm. East Coaster. I won't say I'm from New York, but I have spent a lot of time there because I grew up in Jersey City. And I am a video producer for GameSpot. And that means a lot of things. You might hear my voice on some reviews or previews and such. I did a new show for GameSpot for a while. And I was the main editor on How It Saved. So if you haven't checked that show out, definitely give it a watch. Episodes like how Sonic saved Sega and how the Switch saved Nintendo. It was a fun time.
Yeah. And like I said, you've been here 2 years. Mm-hmm. How are you finding kind of GameSpot? Because where did you come from originally in terms of like where we hired you from? You have an entertainment.
Yeah, you hired me from like entertainment. The company I worked at before GameSpot was more of like TMZ. So I traded in talking about the Kardashians to talking about video games, which was a very welcome change. Trust me, no shade to the Kardashians.
Imagine if we talked about Miyamoto the same way.
Exactly. It was very refreshing to get here, start doing news for GameSpot, and just know that like none of our titles will be like Miyamoto slams the PlayStation 5 or, you know, throws shade at, you know, there was
Miyamoto
no drama.
Miyamoto papped with no makeup on.
Yeah, there was limited drama in that. That was very refreshing.
Well, obviously, we are here today to host Kinda Funny Games Daily. Thank you again to the Kinda Funny team for letting us sneak on. Mm-hmm. We have a bunch of big stories today. So a new Black Panther game was announced from EA. Deus Ex is still very, very far away. And more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames and Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. And if we're wrong about anything, then I'm blaming Blessin and Greg. but if you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic creator code KINDAFUNNY on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. And to be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free, plus a bevy of bonus content. Wow, great use of the word bevy. Housekeeping. Time for another experiment that I am being given the... I'm allowed to tell you about this one, so if anything goes wrong with this experiment, it's because we're not under control conditions, and I'm sorry. This week, we're not breaking up our streaming content on YouTube. That means each day, Kinda Funny Games Daily, the Super Chat post show, and the stream of the day will be one big video on YouTube. What does it mean for you? Well, no more jumping between YouTube videos if you're watching live. Ooh, you just come into one and hang out. That sounds pretty great. If you want to watch Kinda Funny Games Daily on demand while the stream is live, you just have to rewind to the beginning. And if you want to catch the Jabroni Boys after the stream has ended, you have to scrub past Games Daily. So let us know what you think of the plan in the video comments and make sure to help anyone in chat or comments that's confused as to what is going on.
Yeah. Help each other out.
Help each other. So hopefully that makes a lot of sense. If you, already done the bit. Huge thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. And today we're brought to you by Bird Dogs, but we'll tell you about that later.
Yeah.
For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
I love it. I feel like I'm channeling my inner Greg.
Yeah.
This is the loudest I will ever be.
It's the coffee.
It's the coffee, yeah. It's not Busan, but it is in a control mug.
Nice.
Which makes me feel, dude, I re-downloaded everything after seeing Alan Wake 2 at Summer Game Fest.
You made me very excited for Alan Wake 2.
Let's just talk about Alan Wake.
Yeah, no. Right?
No, we're talking about a brand new EA studio is making a Black Panther game. Mm-hmm. This is from Marika Hashimoto at Marvel.com. Wakanda Forever, as we celebrate the 57th anniversary of Black Panther's comic debut this July, we're thrilled to announce Cliffhanger Games, a new AAA development studio based in Seattle, is working on an original third-person single-player Black Panther game in collaboration with Marvel Games. Their mission is to build an expansive and reactive world that empowers players to experience what it's like to take on the mantle of Wakanda's protector, the Black Panther. Led by Kevin Stevens from Monolith Productions, Cliffhanger has already brought together accomplished talent with leaders from the critically acclaimed and innovative action-adventure game Middle-earth Shadow of Mordor, along with veterans of top franchises, including Halo Infinite, God of War, Call of Duty, and others. We're dedicated to delivering fans a definitive and authentic Black Panther experience, giving them more agency and control over their narrative than they have ever experienced in a story-driven video game. Wakanda is a rich superhero sandbox, and our mission is to develop an epic world for players who love Black Panther and want to explore the world of Wakanda as much as we do, said Kevin. The development team at Cliffhanger Games will be working in partnership with Marvel Games to ensure that we craft every aspect of Wakanda, its technology, its heroes, and our own original story with the attention to detail and authenticity that the world of Black Panther deserves. It's an incredibly rare opportunity to build a new team around the values of diversity, collaboration, and empowerment, said Kevin. We want our game to enable players to feel what it's like to be worthy of the Black Panther mantle in unique, story-driven ways, and we want Cliffhanger Games to empower everyone on our team. We collaborate to bring this amazing world to life.
All right.
Immediate thoughts, immediate reactions. What do you reckon?
My immediate reaction to the news was, one, didn't this get announced already? But then I remembered that, one, it's not the Amy Hennig Captain America crossover, like team-up game. Mm. And also, I think this leaked last summer. So that's probably where that's coming from. But after I uncrossed the wires in my brain, I think this sounds cool. Mm. I mean, it's a new team and it's a fresh chance for them to do something really cool with this world. And like it says here, to build a team around the values of diversity. Now, when I first saw the story this morning, I saw some tweets going up about the company hiring people. And then I also saw, you know, ex-cast host Paris Lilly tweeting that this is the perfect opportunity for them to add more diverse people to that team and get people who look like me on the team to work on something that should be like a celebration of African culture. And I completely agree. Mm. I think what we have with, we're seeing it a lot with lead characters being more diverse and even like black. It's mainly even like Miles Morales coming out later this fall and the hype around that game alone. But I think it's fantastic to have another game coming out and for kids to be able to play Black Panther and to, you know, see characters like them, mm-hmm. you know, and control them like that. So that it's fantastic. I'm happy for it.
I mean, I know I've fallen off Marvel quite a lot over the past couple of years. I think maybe just because of the abundance of MCU stuff that hasn't necessarily hit for me. Yeah. But I will say I think the Black Panther movie from a few years ago was one that I just absolutely adored because it was such a celebration and it was this story that was so well crafted. I'm really excited to see what they do and hopefully that they manage to. I mean, there is so much Black Panther lore and that they could
57
years.
I didn't even realize
that they could put in here. But I'm intrigued. Like it's the team, a lot of folks from Middle-earth: Shadow of Mordor, a lot of folks from Monolith, and so yeah, you go to these other franchises like God of War, Call of Duty. Within the broader kind of video game, because what is it? It's like a celebration of single player too, third mm-hmm. person. I mean, I guess my question is like, what do you want this to be? Do you want it to be kind of like what they did with Marvel Spider-Man, which is, you know, can't completely remove it from the kind of burden, the shackles of the MCU, or do you kind of see them trying to cross over in certain ways like they did with the Avengers game, which was, you know, they threw in costumes and stuff, but it was mm-hmm. an original story. What do you reckon, what would you like to see from this?
I would like to see it be something original. And it's so hard not to like kind of compare what you want your expectations to be with what Spider-Man is. But I would like something original. It also gets into that kind of weird area where like if you do chase after what he was in the MCU, you know, you're missing the lead actor of that movie, unfortunately. And I don't remember if it said it in this story, but I did remember seeing somewhere that like the game takes place after the death of a Black Panther, and like you're taking up the mantle as a new Black Panther. So I would be okay with it being that type of thing, like if we honor Chadwick in a way in the game, but I do think it would probably benefit more being its own thing and pulling from that 57 years of comics.
If that is the case, that's probably even from a gaming like onboarding kind of thing. You start completely afresh. You are taking up the mantle. You are becoming the Black Panther. You are learning on the job, essentially. Yeah. I think that would be kind of smart. I'm also in the vein where I want it to be its own thing, because I think my issue with MCU as it currently stands and Marvel in general is that there is just so much, and it feels, even as someone who was incredibly invested in that universe for a long time, it just feels like if you don't consume every single part of it, you are missing out on something. And I think if you are putting all of these resources, building a team, building a studio, putting this all behind Black Panther, you want people to get in on the ground floor. You don't want to have expectations and baggage for people to get in on a story like this. And so that's why I also hope it's going to be something new. Easter eggs for people who know it. But you know, I don't want to have to get a Disney Plus sub for my required reading like watching before I get
unless it like comes with the game, which would be weird, but My question to you is, do you think we're going to hit a point where these Marvel games are like oversaturation of the Marvel games? Because we do have EA Motive, I believe, making the Iron Man game, Skydance New Media making the Captain America Black Panther game, plus we have Wolverine, plus we have Spider-Man 2, and then whatever else that, you know, either I'm forgetting or I haven't or hasn't been announced yet. Are we going to hit that point where we're just kind of sick of Marvel games?
I mean, until they remake X-Men Destiny. No. The thing is, I think the difference there is, maybe with the exception of Avengers and sorry, Greg, they're all good or like poised to be very good. And I think stripping back and removing, I keep using the word baggage, but I think that's basically what the MCU has become right now. To have these more self-contained stories, I think it only works in their favor. And so also you're kind of getting, you know, Wolverine is getting a game. And I haven't played a Wolverine game since that tie-in, which was pretty good. From a few years ago, if I remember correctly. But you know what I mean? So I think the oversaturation with Marvel films, absolutely. Marvel games, I don't think we've hit that yet.
Okay.
And I don't think we will for a few years. And also, you know, I think from the sounds of it, this is still very much a ways off. Doesn't seem to be any, even like a hint of a release date. We've got Spider-Man 2 coming out this year, Wolverine hopefully next year, maybe. And so, you know, I think if they stagger stuff out, I think we're in for a good time. It's kind of like a nice reset, if anything.
Okay. Yeah, I can agree with that. Instead of the, you know, movie universe, we get a game universe somehow, even though it's different.
Don't tempt them.
It's different studios, but if they want to, like, you know, somehow combine forces and make that, I'm down.
That's literally the most ambitious crossover in history. All right, moving on then. Adam Jensen, actor, says no one is called about a new Deus Ex game. This is from Wes Ian Poole at IGN. It feels so weird to say that because Wes has been at Eurogamer for so, so long, but congrats to him for heading over to IGN. So this is from him. The actor who plays Adam Jensen from Deus Ex has said he has yet to be asked to reprise his role. Elias Tufexis, who played protagonist Jensen in Eidos Montreal's Deus Ex Human Revolution and Deus Ex Mankind Divided, took to Twitter to reply to a question asking if he was working on a new game in the series. Yep, as happy as I am to be busy, I wish I was even more busy on a new Deus Ex. I'm not under any NDA for Deus Ex because no one has called me about it, truly. Tufexis's tweet has saddened fans of the series, which was left unfinished after 2016's Mankind Divided ended on a cliffhanger. In November, Bloomberg's Jason Schreier tweeted to say a new Deus Ex was in the works at Eidos Montreal, although still in the very, very early stages of development. The troubled Embracer Group, you never want to be known as the troubled, acquired Eidos Montreal in May last year when it bought Square Enix's Western Studios and associated intellectual properties for just $300 million. The sale, which is set to go through by September this year, means Embracer owns Crystal Dynamics, Eidos Montreal, and Square Enix Montreal, as well as IPs including Tomb Raider, Deus Ex, Thief, and, I can't say it out loud because Tam will come, Legacy of Kain. You know what? I'm just going to say it. I feel like Elias has been tweeting about this a lot, so I'm not sure why this is news now. Are you a big Deus Ex fan?
I played maybe one of them. I forget which one it was. It might have been Mankind Divided, but yeah.
Was it the orange one or the gritty gray one?
I don't remember. I know I have a friend who absolutely loves them, and that's probably why I don't even remember which one I played, because I've watched him play a couple of them and heard him talk about it and try to get me to play all of them. But yeah.
I mean, I really liked Human Revolution. Mankind Divided did not grab me as much, but obviously it has its fans and people are kind of longing. It's a great jewel in the crown of, I guess, Square Enix's IPs that they did nothing with.
Yeah.
If you look at all the IPs that Square Enix have kind of squandered over the years. But yeah, it's kind of a weird one because Elias definitely has been pushing, you know, desperately. He hears the fans. So he obviously wants to get back into that world, voice that iconic character again. Feels like it's very much on the back burner. And if the rumblings are true, then if it's in very, very early stages of development, yeah, because after Guardians of the Galaxy, Eidos Montreal will be looking at, as to the next thing, but they've been acquired. And so it depends. Is Embracer going to give them a new Deus Ex? Are they going to give them Thief? Probably not. Probably not. A Legacy of Kain? I mean, what is the biggest success for them? What does that look like? But also at the same time, they're troubled.
Yeah. I would say, like, if I was them, looking at what Cyberpunk has done, because, you know, like, Deus Ex kind of has that same, like, augmented type of thing going on.
Oh, never forget, augment your pre-order. That was them.
So it's like, with the success and, like, the revival of Cyberpunk, you think maybe they would try to, like, chase that? Like, you know, we've done it well in the past. We can do it right now. But like you said, it may just be on the back burner. It may be the type of thing where they are thinking about going that route and, you know, they just haven't called him yet. You know, turn your ringer up, you know, like make sure sit by the phone. They might be calling you. I would hate to see this. And I don't remember where the timeline of this situation ended up. You know, who was right, who was wrong, if anybody was in the right or wrong, but the Bayonetta situation with the voice actor, I wouldn't want to see it like go down that route where fans are just so upset that they replace the main person in Deus Ex.
I do not think you could have Adam Jensen without Elias. So fingers crossed. I mean, yeah, it would be great to see another one, but also they have so many properties and it's kind of, I think everyone is just holding their breath and seeing how the Embracer stuff plays out.
Yeah.
Obviously losing that $2 deal is going to be hurting them. So
would be more of a safe bet to just, you know, sit back and wait a little bit.
We'll wait to see how that will. All right, next up, this is from Jordan Midler at VGC. An all-female Final Fantasy 16 musical announced. A Final Fantasy 16 musical has been announced. Probably could have not said that first line. The show will be performed by the all-female theater troupe at Takarazuka Review. Tickets for the show will go on sale in April. The performance will take place in late 2024. The show will take place at the Takarazuka Grand Theater in Hyogo, Japan. Final Fantasy X themed kabuki show was performed earlier this year. Square Enix has also claimed as part of the announcement that the Final Fantasy series has crossed 180 million shipments and downloads worldwide.
Wow.
I mean, I've got many questions. First of all, why is it not over here? Are they going to be streaming it? I don't know. Like, I would love to see a stage show where they're putting the icons on there.
Yeah.
I think that would be really cool. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a video game adaptation. Oh, no, no, no. I know that Andrew Goldfarb, friend of the show and friend to us, went to see the Persona 5 stage show.
Okay.
And he said that was really, really cool. So I'm just saying there's a market for it. Why are we not seeing more?
Yeah.
Other than Final Fantasy and Persona, what would you like to see on stage? Could be anything.
Yeah, it could be anything. That's the craziest thing about it is, like, the first thing that pops into my head is I think Witcher would probably make for a really good musical, even if, like, I just thinking about the Netflix show and the one song that really stuck with everyone, Toss a Coin to Your Witcher.
Oh, yeah.
I think if you put a bunch of other songs in that and put it on stage, that would be fantastic. Anything to just hear, like, a grizzly Geralt, like, singing a song, I would love it, personally.
There would be a song that's just...
Yeah.
Like, just a grr.
Yeah.
Oh, people are saying that there was a Nia show as well.
Oh, okay.
That sounds sick.
But was it, because I see concert, and that's what I was thinking with this. When I saw musical, at first I was thinking one of the concerts where it's like a symphony orchestra, like playing the soundtrack,
like,
or something,
Final
which
Fantasy,
I feel like is pretty normal at this point. There's a lot of those. But yeah, the musical part where they're actually playing scenes from the game could be interesting. I'm just going with, like, my favorite games, because next in mind is, like, Uncharted. So I want to see, like, an Uncharted 2 or something, or go through all of them. Throw Last of Us in there, too. Why not? I mean, you know it's going to make money because of the show.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
The game, the show. It would be cool. Oh, no, a clicker. Oh, no, a clicker. Here it comes. I'm game. I'm down for it.
Wait. John Luke says, you'll be happy to know a Witcher musical did happen in Poland.
Oh, okay.
I mean, okay. God.
So I feel like we are losing out.
We're missing out over here.
Yeah,
I feel like we don't get anything other than the Final Fantasy concert thing. We get the video games live thing. We get now the Game Awards Orchestra thing.
Mm-hmm.
But until I see someone dressed in a full mech for a Titanfall 2 musical, then I am... done, I'm afraid.
Titanfall 3, the musical. They just act out what the game would have been.
Yeah.
That would have been fantastic.
Bloodborne, the musical.
Have you beaten Final Fantasy 16?
No, I am like 3/4 of the way through. And then last week I went on holiday and I didn't have my PlayStation. Have you finished it?
No, I haven't even started it. Now, the thing is, I haven't even played the demo, which I feel like is crazy to say because everyone was so hyped about the demo when it came out. But I'm in a place where... I am still on Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom. I keep doing that.
Honestly, you could say you're still on Breath of the Wild and I'd believe you.
I'm still on Tears of the Kingdom. And then Diablo 4 surprised me and got it took to me. So I'm still playing that. And then somewhere off in a corner, Cal Kestis is like making a really mean face at me because I played like half an hour of that. And I'll be like, I'll be back to you. And I haven't. So knowing I have those just sitting on my shoulders, weighing me down, I'm like, I can't Final Fantasy. No. And I edited the summons video.
You did.
Our lore video for that. And the more I did that video, the more I was like, this looks awesome.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. I need to play. I can't do it. Don't do it yet.
I mean, hey, when you get back to the East Coast, just settle in, pour 70 hours of your life in it. I'm having a good time. I'm going to hopefully finish it this weekend before everything else kicks off.
I would rush to beat it if this musical was actually happening in America. I would rush to beat it just so I can watch it with no spoilers.
Even if they just streamed. All right, Sega is licensing an immensely popular IP.
Ooh.
Don't get too excited for a new Web3 game. This is also from Jordan Midler at VGC. Line Next has announced that it will team up with Sega and license an immensely popular IP for its blockchain gaming platform, GameDosi. Line Next is pleased to be teaming up with Sega to bring some exciting gaming to the Web3 space for gamers around the world, said Yongsoo Ko, CEO of Line Next. Through this partnership, GameDosi will provide Web3 content that anyone can easily enjoy, including Sega fans. It's unclear what this license is referring to. The company behind Sonic the Hedgehog is letting third-party partners create NFT games using some of its franchises, including Three Kingdoms and Virtua Fighter, but currently it won't allow its biggest characters to be associated with blockchain titles to avoid potentially devaluing its IP. Line Next is a South Korean firm that operates under Line, a messaging service similar to WhatsApp. Launched in May, GameDosi is a Web3 gaming platform that provides user and game-centered services. Earlier this week, Sega co-chief operating officer Shuji Utsumi called Play to Earn Titles Boring. Play to Earn Titles Boring. Adding, what's the point if games are no fun?
Right?
We're looking into whether this technology is really going to take off in this industry after all, Utsumi said. Despite cooling its interest in blockchain gaming, Sega will continue to invest in the area while there remains a chance it could become more mainstream in the future.
Well, I guess it's so funny that they're, you know, stay away from, you know, our biggest characters just in case.
Yeah, like, we don't trust you to, I don't know, do anything worth Sonic or Knuckles or the rest of the boys. Not a big thing. But but it's so weird. They are basically doing the It's Always Sunny, like, I will play both sides.
Yeah.
that's how I win. And that's why I always win. And so it's very weird. I just kind of wish that they weren't giving this stuff any oxygen at all.
Yeah, same.
Who do you think it is? IP wise, who do you think it is?
I have no idea, considering, like, they're saying they don't. To me, it feels a little confusing because immensely popular, but also they want to, like, keep it away from their biggest characters. So what would be an immensely popular game that's not one of their big characters?
If you say Persona or Yakuza, I'm gonna.
You know, unfortunately,
Kazuma Kiryu would not be down for blockchain
unfortunately,
gaming.
Unfortunately, I could see that happening, unfortunately, but
the Phantom Thieves. Could you imagine Futaba, though? Like, no. I mean, she would be. Oh, actually, I feel like out of any character in Persona, Futaba would probably have some NFTs.
I think Persona might be safe. Just because there were so much announcements with Persona recently that maybe they would have, like, teased that or dropped that, you know, when they were making those announcements. So you might be okay.
This sounds like a Yakuza sub story.
That's
like,
why I'm
Kiryu,
you know,
getting involved into NFTs.
For someone that hasn't
blockchain,
like, fully played any of them, like, I don't know. There's just something, like, there's goofy aspects the Yakuza game. So I feel like they could kind of slip it in as a joke, just to be like, "Hey, we're testing this. We're dipping our toes in."
Kiryu accidentally becomes an NFT,
joke.
And has to hunt down who's selling it. Or I don't know how NFTs work.
I don't know. You sound like you're down with the idea. It sounds like you would play that game.
Look, I've got some apes, okay? they're massively depreciating in value. I've got to get this back up. I'm very excited. All my investments.
Yeah,
my kids' college went. No,
it's a bummer. I do want to see, like, just, you know, companies just kind of leave it behind and stop dipping their toes in it. But I mean, from a business standpoint, I get it. You know, I don't want to get it, but I guess I get it. You just want to make sure you know, and then if it takes off, you're already kind of there.
I already feel like we're in the.
We are definitely. we definitely are. I haven't heard Ubisoft talk about it in a while because it only popped up for Ghost Recon.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
and
that.
And then they didn't add it to anything else, unless they did and I haven't noticed. But I just kind of want them to, maybe it's in the Avatar game and we don't know about that, or maybe it's in Skull and Bones and that's why it's taking so long.
Ahar mateys, we'll be riding along the blockchain anyway. Next up, EA Sports FC. Oh my God, is that the new name?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Football Club 24.
Football Club. EA Sports FC 24 Ultimate Edition cover revealed featuring over 30 players. Once again, from Jordan Midler at VGC. Prolific. Prolific.
Oh, that's nice.
EA has unveiled the cover for EA Sports FC 24's Ultimate Edition.
A lot of words.
The cover shows off over 30 players, including Erling Haaland, Pele, Ronaldinho, Sam Kerr, Leah Williamson, Andrea Pirlo, and more. I feel like I used to be connected to football. I've heard of two of those.
I was about to ask, you know, I thought you would be more into, you would know a little more about these players.
I wish.
I love that at the top right, there's just a guy that looks like Nick. It's just
Can we get a zoom in on this, please?
Yeah, let me see how easy that's going to be.
Now. Oh, here fantastic. We go, here we go.
I know, no, it's fighting it. Hold on, let me get out of here. Open image.
Cat, you know what to do. Take that player and put him on a picture of Nick. Or actually just put Nick in the corner of the cover.
Oh, my God. That just is Nick.
That's so great. He's so serious.
He doesn't like make sense. You know what I mean? I'm sure that's some famous soccer player.
Yeah, it is. The chat is saying.
But like his shirt not having any graphic whatsoever, just being a light blue shirt, phenomenal.
He looks like he. Oh my God, get in here! Hey. Get in here! He looks like he just wandered on and no one told him to leave.
I mean, have you ever played a soccer match or
no,
a football match?
But I mean, it's a lot of running, so I can imagine that's what I'm reacting to here because my knees hurt a lot. But here, Lucy, you're dead on. He looks like he didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
And somebody just put him on set, and he's like shocked and like, am I going to get sued for being in this picture?
He looks like he was a stand-in.
Yeah.
So that they could check that everyone fit. And then the guy just never showed up. So they're like, you stay.
He's a seat holder for like the Oscars. That's perfect. God, I wish I had that hairline.
Now, what if that isn't you, Nick? What if that's just Johnny Ace?
Oh, that could be.
At the wrong sport.
Think about the Ace Man, guys, is that there is no such thing as a wrong sport for John L. Ace Esquire, Knight of the Old Republic, MD. He will play whatever sport you want and dominate. That's what the Ace Man does. That's why they call him the Ace Man. If he didn't dominate, they'd call him the Queen Man or like the Jack of Diamonds.
The Queen Man?
Because it's not the ace card.
Veiled reference to cards.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because the ace is the one card, you know what I mean?
Oh.
Because he's number one.
The queen is like what?
Ace my pot. Queen's like two down the line.
Okay. I think she's...
In the line of succession.
Is it 12?
That's my phone. Yeah.
Oh, he's taking a picture of his face. He does this all the time. I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Later.
I've got a new background.
Yeah.
On my phone.
Congratulations.
The reveal confirms details recently leaked by data miner... Bill Kuhn, who has also claimed that Haaland stars on the cover of the standard edition of EA Sports FC 24, and that the game will be released on September the 29th. Although Bill Kuhn has chosen not to share the standard edition cover image due to copyright reasons, they describe it as depicting Haaland. Okay, sorry, this is just a very funny thing. They describe it as depicting Haaland in a Champions League game, about to take a shot with one arm wide open. So, a guy playing football taking a shot. While Mbappe was featured on the cover of FIFA 21, FIFA 22, and FIFA 23, Jesus, that's a lot of covers.
Yeah.
The French star doesn't appear on the Ultimate Edition of EA Sports FC.
Interesting.
Wow.
I feel like this is kind of a, you know, great that they were able to squeeze all of those on there, but like, I kind of wish they did, you know, It's FC 24 cover with 24 players on it.
Oh, that would have been smart.
Yeah, like it's such a small thing. It doesn't matter at all. But like, just because it's 24, just throw 24 players on there.
I did see Simon Cardi from IGN made this cover, but he made it the Beatles Sgt. Pepper album, which was
nice.
Honestly, I wish I knew more about soccer, but sadly, I don't. So I'm gonna move us along.
Yeah, cool cover though.
Great cover.
Really cool cover.
And then we have EA announces EA UFC 5.
Nice.
What was EA's thing this morning? Did I just sleep through it? I woke up and there was all this news from EA, and I'm just like, oh, all right, lads.
Yeah, I guess they just, you know, decided, all right, today's the day.
Oh, all we have is a tweet for this, by the way. We don't have a new story.
Oh, well, there's the Beatles one. That is fantastic. Beatles,
which is very good. Very good. It deserves more. Yep, coming soon, UFC 5, full reveal September 2023. Sign up for more news. And there's a logo.
Cool.
Fun. Yeah. You a big UFC guy? Help me out here, Devontae. Help me.
No, I dabble a little bit. I play them. It's the type of game that like I like to load up and play with friends. I have a friend that like kind of always buys them, mm-hmm. Creates his created player and boosts all the stats up and then challenges me. And I'm just like, this is cheating. But okay, I guess I'm having a good time anyway.
That's what I used to do. I used to play games with my dad when I played 007 Nightfire. I would always pump up my stats and mm-hmm. he never played with me again. Yes, this is the... Oh, so it's not just a logo reveal. It's an animated logo reveal, yeah. Everyone. Please be excited.
And just like the football, looks good. Logo looks good. I'm sure
great
the cover
font.
Will look good.
Great font yeah, usage. Love the use of the graphics. Full reveal September. Okay, it's still July. We, you know, cool it. But I guess this is probably just for shareholders and stuff, right?
The games are really good, though. I enjoy them. I you know, forget the controls sometimes when I'm going in because I feel like I'm a lapsed player all the time. But, like, it's good to see that the game is still doing good and it's not, you know, EA is just all Madden.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like for a long time EA were like, okay, Madden, FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff that brings in the big bucks. Yeah. But we haven't forgot about UFC. Sphinx says they took 3 years on this one.
So wow. Okay.
Been a hot minute.
Yeah, so I guess this is hopefully going to be, like, the best one in the series since they took that much time to make it.
All right.
I'll check it out.
And I will watch over your shoulder because I will probably not.
Okay.
I'll be too busy playing EA Sports FC 24. All right, moving us on to the ads. Remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs make you look good. Bird Dogs stretch khaki shorts are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. They fit way better than regular shorts that are made of a stiff, restricting cotton. Bird Dogs use anti-stink, sweat-wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long. I've been going down to the heat of Los Angeles with Gia a lot recently, and I've been loving the breeze thanks to my Bird Dogs. They got Oxford shorts, khaki shorts, bathing suits, and much, much more. My favorites are the Art Farts Knockers, and it's not just because of the name, it's because of the blue. But hey, the name doesn't hurt at all. Art Fart Knocker, come on. Go to birddogs.com/kindoffunny or enter code kindoffunny for a free Yeti style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/kindoffunny or use the promo code kindoffunny for a free Yeti style tumbler. birddogs.com/kindoffunny, promo code kindoffunny.
But September is so far away. If I wanted to know what is coming to mom and grub shops today, Devante, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games show host each and every weekday.
Well, out today is nothing. So I'm sorry, everyone.
Nothing, and we missed the jingle, but I guess since there's no games, so we can just...
Yeah.
Yeah, or... No.
Nothing. There's a bunch of EA news, but no games. So your backlogs are safe?
Yeah, for at least a day.
For today?
Like, I'm still in long lunch mode, which is, you know, I've been on holiday for a week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming in. I've never hosted. I'm getting there. I need more coffee. But anyway, we do have new dates for some things, though. So nothing is out today, but... new dates and the narrative platformer Puzzles for Clef comes to PC on the 24th of July. Bugsnax comes to iPhone and iPad on the 12th of July. A song that still, every time I hear it, I love it, but also I'm reminded of 2020 where Jen, we had it on loop. We had it on loop in the apartment. And so every time I see it, I get like the 20-yard stare where I'm just like taken back to the early days of the pandemic just listening to.
That's how I get with the Beatles sometimes because my freshman year of college, I moved in, you know, dorm room, Beatles rock band.
And just, man.
And then my roommate also made his ringtone The Walrus. What's the name of that song?
I Am the Walrus.
I Am the Walrus. Yeah. So, yeah. So, between the game always playing constantly and then him waking up for class with cuckoo, ka-choo, I was losing my mind.
You know what? I'm just going to say it. There is such a thing as too much Beatles.
There you go. Finally, someone that can say it with me. Thank you.
My sister lived and worked in Liverpool for a long time, and I genuinely cannot play any Beatles around her because she used to work in a hotel, and that was all they would play.
Wow.
And, yeah. So, I come from a Beatles-free household, I'm afraid.
Yeah. But with that being said, I love the Bugsnax song. I didn't play it on loop, so I might listen to it later.
Oh. And Hammer of Virtue brings destruction, comes to PC on the 7th of August. All right, but we do have some deals of the day, though. Want to get Greg in WWE 2K23. For a limited time, you can use the locker code GAMEOVERGREGGY and add the great... Okay, well, clearly Greg wrote this. And add the greatest My Faction manager of all time to your squad. There is a tweet from Greg where he's talking about it. Yeah. And so, hashtag this is awesome. Wait, was he? Who sucks? Hashtag JBL sucks. But yeah.
Yeah. So if you want that, go get it.
Locker code, Game Over Greggy.
Game Over Greggy.
There he is. There he is.
All caps.
All caps. I don't know if the caps makes a difference.
Just do it anyway. Because
yeah,
you're
just to be safe.
Do it anyway. One, to you know, to emulate Greg's energy, but two, just to like let the game know you're serious.
Yeah.
You want him.
His feud with JBL is like shocking and it's so much fun to watch.
I love it.
Will he take it too far?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. 100%. No.
Someone's getting sued. Probably Greg. Anyway, time for some reader mail. Now it is time. You can write into kindoffunny.com/KFGD to get your questions read on the show, just like Danny Ghosty Boy.
Mm.
How do you play games when life gets stressful? I have had an increased amount of stress from family and financial issues out of my control to the point where relaxing or video game time doesn't feel the same. Do you experience this as well? And what are some ways to feel more relaxed when playing games?
I've definitely felt this. First off, you know, don't force it. If you feel like playing a game is becoming a chore to you, definitely just relax. Maybe don't play that game, you know, just it should never feel like homework. It's supposed to be like something you enjoy. But something else I do, and I think that's what got me into this weird farming sim hole that I'm in right now, is to play a cozy game. You know, if you're feeling like your life is really stressful and you're hopping into a stressful Call of Duty match, that might just be adding to that stress. But if you're playing something like, you know, Disney Dreamlight Valley, which is the thing I've been really addicted to lately. I mean, you're running around doing little like fetch quests and stuff for Disney characters and gardening. So if you need some of that, you know. Power Wash Sim, also something good. Turn your brain off. It's meditative. The SpongeBob DLC is pretty dope. That's my thing. You know, maybe switch up the game or something like that. Just try something different to get you away from how you're feeling.
Mm. I would say, first of all, sorry to hear that you're having a rough time.
Yeah.
It seems to be going around, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What a weird kind of couple years we've all had. I would say the thing that helps me is not having my phone around, because she says with her phone right here, with some great pictures of Nick, I'm sure I can enjoy. Mm-hmm. Not having my phone around, because what I do is I equate being stressed to things on my phone, whether mm-hmm. that's Twitter or like emails or work or whatever. And so when I want to play games and relax, I put my phone on the other side of the room, sometimes in another room. And I just kind of fully immerse myself into the experience. I also enjoy a good cozy game.
Yeah.
I'm currently playing Dave the Diver, which is fantastic.
I got to get on that.
And what a lovely game. It is so charming.
Mm.
And so the thing about it is, I think if I'm playing a game where there is a loading screen, like if I'm loading into a match, or if there's even a cutscene, I'm so bad about this. Like even if there's a cutscene, I'll just instinctively reach my phone. So separating that out, putting it over there so I don't have to. And I can just enjoy the game and kind of lose myself for a couple hours. That's how I do that. But like Devante said, don't force it.
Yeah.
Gaming is meant to be a very relaxing hobby. And, you know, just enjoy it. It's meant to be fun. As mm-hmm. the guy from Sega said, for the blockchain.
Don't play, if you're stressed, don't play blockchain games.
Unless, no. The IndieQuest podcast asks, if you could have any indie developer take on a big AAA IP, who would they dev be, and what would their new project be? Who are the devs? Oh, the devs behind... I'm just very, very excited to see what... oh my god, what's the name of the game? The time-traveling Roman... game.
Forgotten City
Forgotten City devs.
Yeah.
I just want to see them do something else, something cool. What could they, what triple A IP could they take? Titanfall.
really want to see another Titanfall?
I don't know why the Titanfall is in my mind today, but that would be cool. I just want to see them do something else, honestly.
Yeah, I'm like, the first dev that like popped into my head was Supergiant.
Oh yeah.
And I'm trying to think of like what I would want them to take on after Hades 2, of course.
I was gonna say, you want something with like movement and what about like Dishonored?
That could be cool.
Like a really quick stealth game?
Mm-hmm.
Where you play as an assassin, kind of killing everyone and moving around, trying not to be spotted, but trying to execute in a very cool, perfect way.
Mm-hmm. I'd be down for that. The regular Dishonored's never like fully like got me involved. I never stuck with them all the way through. But to have it in like a different style, I might feel differently about it and not first person, so I can like see around me, because I think that's what gets me too when I'm playing like a first person stealthy game, because I'm bad at stealth to begin with, but you know, you put me in their head and I can't fully look around, then I get even worse with it. I'm surprised I beat the other one, black dude time loop.
Oh, Deathloop.
Yeah, Deathloop. I said the word loop and it didn't even trigger it. I'm surprised I even beat that, but even that was like sometimes just like kind of running and gunning it.
Yeah. I mean Deathloop definitely lends itself more to that. I mean, Dishonored, you can run and gun it. Like, is it Stealth Gamer BR has some amazing like high chaos runs that they've done.
Yeah.
But yeah. What if the Signalis dev made a Signalis style game with the Control IP? Oh my God.
Okay. Signalis has been, that's been interesting. To me too. I've like, during our like game of the year deliberations last year, that's when it really like got on my radar more. I think Kurt was hyping it up.
It's a very much a Kurt game.
So I haven't checked it out yet, but that looked cool. Going back to Supergiant for a second, thinking of Hades, I kind of want a similar style of that, but God of War.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
kind of old
smart.
God of War in that type of rogue-like game. So screw Dishonored. Get it out of here.
I just want more Dishonored. I think it's because on my flight last week, I got it in the Steam sale.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I have it on Xbox, PlayStation, now PC. So
why not? Have it on everything.
That would be really cool. I'm just trying to think of like in terms of indie devs. I mean, I know Bethel did doing Tron. He has John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
I also think what Square Montreal did with like Hitman Go, Lara Croft Go, there was even Deus Ex Go, right?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah. Like just taking a beloved IP and doing something really cool and unique, like that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think.
What Let's could young get those devs do? And do like a Mario type tile Go game.
Give
like
young
that.
Horses Mario. Like a Bucks next. But we'll see. This one is from Tom Hoppus 69.
Okay.
Very good. I don't remember if you guys have ever discussed it, but what were your earliest memories of video games? For me, it was playing Super Nintendo in the early 90s at my aunt's house. She was a heavy smoker, so anytime I get a whiff of cigarettes, all I can see in my head is me sitting a couple inches from the TV on my knees playing Street Fighter 2. Okay.
Interesting. For me, it's always PlayStation. For me, even though I'm so console agnostic now and I'll play on anything, my first like console was a PlayStation. So like just hearing that sound, or you know the startup sound, or just anything involved with like the PlayStation 1. I'm even like in love with the color gray, so it's like even just the color gray will like remind me of that console and memories of that. But also Hercules, because for some reason, my first game on that was like the Hercules game that I think is also on PlayStation Plus right now, like
really?
One of the tiers in the classic tier or something like that. But it's that and Rayman that always like bring me back to then.
My earliest, so I have a bunch of memories of early video game playing, but I can't place which order they sort of came in. So it kind of all came in together. I remember going to my friend Robin's house after school, and she had a Mega Drive. and we played. I can't even remember what game we played. I remember.
There it is.
Oh my god.
Hey. I've tried playing it now, you know, thinking like I'm a better gamer now. I still lose constantly in games, especially this level right here. This level can go to hell.
Sen's Fortress ass level.
It's so bad.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's the thing. I just think games were tougher back then.
Yeah, for sure.
It's made us more resilient.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I remember, yeah, Shadow Mega Drive. My dad had a PC, so I definitely remember playing Quake and Doom with my dad when I was definitely too young to do so. Tomb Raider 2. Was it Tomb Raider 3? I think it was 3 with the quad bike and everything. And then my sister had a PlayStation 1, and so did my friend Nell, and so we would play Oddworld, things like Spyro, Crash. And then I didn't get my own. I got a PC. I had a cast-off PC from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like all these educational games on there for a long time.
Yeah.
And then I remember I was at my friend's, Tom and Jack. That was the most British sentence I've ever said. My friend's Tom and Jack.
At least it wasn't like Jack and Jill. Then I would have been like, you're lying.
Their dad's called Jerry, so it's literally Tom and Jerry.
Nice.
But they had The Sims.
Okay.
So, you know, you can definitely see the trajectory of my life, you know, casual into gaming. Oh, yeah, I'll play Crash or I'll play Croc, Legend of the Gobbos.
I remember.
Bring Croc back Croc. Be very careful how you say that. And then the Sims took over, and that's when everything changed for me. And so I have, like, yeah, these various kind of floating memories of just, oh, I remember that game or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, you know, the first, you know, not to use Twilight terminology, but being imprinted upon by a video game series was certainly The Sims.
Okay.
And then never having a PC good enough to actually play it.
I fit into that boat at a certain point, too, where it was just like my cousin had Sims 2, I believe, and she had just got like a new PC and was able to play it, and I just could not load it for anything. I was so jealous.
I remember, so Sims 1, you would have a neighborhood with like 10 lots on it, and then when the Unleashed expansion came out, it upped it to 40 lots.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my friend Nell, she had, we installed The Sims Unleashed, and we obviously were very computer illiterate at the time, and she would load it up and all of the Sims would just be standing still.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be like trying not to cry because we'd spent 40 quid on this and yeah. You know, it just didn't work at all. But then you can't even buy The Sims now, like The Sims 1.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Unfortunately.
You can find it. This is from Blaster Goblin. What recent games have you given up on playing for the first time or returning to due to constant stream of games this year? I don't know, Devante. How's Cal Kestis treating you?
Oh, yep. Jedi Survivor is definitely the one. I was just like, I'm really enjoying this. I'm gonna beat it before Tears of the Kingdom comes out. And silly me, I didn't. So yeah, I have to get back to that. But that's kind of, surprisingly, that's it when it comes to like recent games.
Mm-hmm.
I did Street Fighter 6 is my first Street Fighter I've ever purchased.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like start that and go, oh, I do kind of like Street Fighter, but then I like put it down again. So I haven't gone all the way through like the world tour mode in that or anything. But yeah, for me, it's definitely just Survivor.
I think mine too, unfortunately. I mean, even Tears of the Kingdom, and I do not say this to be like, oh, you know, opposite the kind of grain, but I like those games, but there needs to be a more clear thing for me. And so if I'm, you know, I get there, I feel overwhelmed because there's so much to do. And then if I'm following my own little track that I've made in my head and something goes wrong or I can't even do it, then I just bounce off and then I leave it for a few days, then I come back to it.
Yeah.
So I think that of all of the games, Tears of the Kingdom is going to be one that I will unintentionally drop off at.
Okay.
Because even though I'm at the Fire Temple right now, there was a bit where I was like, well, I can't figure out how to get up there, so I'm just going to put this down. And that was, you know, a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Jedi, I'm so sorry. I was really enjoying it. And then, yeah, just a bunch of stuff came out.
Yeah.
I'll get back to it after Baldur's Gate, Starfield, Assassin's Creed.
Yep. everything that's coming out the rest of the year. In terms of like not recent games, a game I really want to go back to that I haven't finished is Elden Ring.
Oh, mate. Yeah.
And I you know, I know a year old. I don't even know. I haven't touched it since like last summer. I have no idea where my character is, that's what fair. I was doing, which boss I left off on, nothing. I just like I see it. You know, this week I saw like a concept art book and it just spawned that thought in me again. Mm-hmm. Just like, I'm gonna get back to you.
I had, so iPhones give you these like, oh, on this day. And I had one a few days ago, which is like on this day. Got the platinum in Elden Ring.
Like, right, nice.
Can't believe it's been a whole year. I think it's time. Cause the RKG boys are just about to do their Elden Ring playthrough mm-hmm. on the 15th. I think it's when it starts. And I'm so ready for it. If you've never seen Prepare to Try, or Retry, as it's now known since they left IGN. Definitely now is the time because the boys, it's going to be good.
Also, not recent, but Cyberpunk. I'm waiting.
Wait, like the changes?
Yeah, I know it's like going to be a completely new game. So I'm just like, the hour I played does not matter. I'll restart once.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Everything else comes in.
Yeah. Oh, God, September's going to be so busy. Tyler P., in one of the best years in gaming, what is your most overlooked game of the year? Overlooked? I would say game of the year. I know there's a lot of love for Dredge. I personally adored Dredge. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for a solid week and a half, everyone was talking about it.
Yeah.
And I just hope that people take that into Game of the Year discussions. I don't want Dredge to get forgotten because it's really good.
Yeah, that was another one that, like, you know, it's in that same boat as Dave the Diver, I feel like, yeah. Where it's just like it came out of nowhere solid for me loop. And then everyone is talking about it. And ironically, it has to do with water and fishing as well. But, let me see. I don't think there's anything that I've played that's, like, slept on, because
it's been such a great year.
It has, yeah, it has been a great year.
It's ridiculous this year, and we're halfway through.
Mm-hmm. And there's been hit after hit. The only thing I'm, like, looking at that I hear no one talking about in, like, this list of games. I've been, like, taking notes on games as I play them lately. And, like, I just saw Atomic Heart come up. And I was like, no, that's not really slept on. Mm-hmm. Never mind.
All right, then. Time to go over to You're Wrong. Of course, if you have any corrections, please email them in for stuff on the show. This one is from New Adge's Eyes. The Last of Us did have a stage play called One Night Live, where Ashley Johnson and Troy Baker recreated some of the most iconic scenes from the game.
Sweet.
Very nice. Kebabs. Incredible name. It's not Nick on the cover of EA FC 24 because the guy on the cover has hair.
Wow. Okay.
And New Edge's Eyes says, you can only put WWE 2K locker codes in caps, so there is no need to worry.
Cool.
Awesome. Thank all you right. so much, everyone, for emailing in. All right, the rest of this week's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Today, obviously, Devontae and myself. Tuesday, it is Greg and Bless. Wednesday, Tim and Greg. Thursday, Greg and Tim. See what they did there. Friday, Stella and Greg. If you are watching live only on YouTube and the live stream, there's going to be a 30-minute post-show where the lovely Snow Bike Mike comes in to talk to us, Kind of Funny Games Daily hosts, about your Super Chat questions. Stay tuned after today's handshake to hang out with us before the next Kind of Funny. This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday, live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, I have been your host, Luce James.
I've been Devontae Chisholm. Find me on the crocheting app or the bird app at Devontae Chisholm.
And I'm at least James Games everywhere. Thank you so much. Catch you next time.
Oh, answer.
Oh. Nailed it.
Hey.
Incredible Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host. It's Monday, my favorite day of the week, and I'm happy to see you all. I'm muted. But don't worry, I'm sure Kevin fixed that now. Hey, everybody, it's Mike back again for another Super Chat Day with your incredible two Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts, where I join both of these two incredible people, and I jump into the chat with all of you to read your questions, concerns, and comments to kick off our week. It's Monday, my favorite day of the week. Devontae, let me ask you, what's the best day of the week?
I kind of like Monday as well. Like, I love a fresh
That's
start.
My guy.
Yeah, I love a fresh start. So if
start, Lucy James, you heard it.
If you're one of the people who like to start your calendar on Sunday, then okay,
what?
Fine. But also, like, you know,
those people exist.
Yeah, those. I mean, they're I've met them. They're out there. But yeah, Monday, I would say, because it's a fresh start. You know, it's just kind of like the first of the month. Even it's just it makes me feel brand new.
Brand new feeling, Lucy James. You kind of gave us the side eye on the Monday. Tell me what your favorite day of the week is.
You know, I am a big Thursday fan. Because Thursday? Yeah, no, because I don't know why it feels like, you know, you've got the most of the working week out the way. You're anticipating. You're excited for the Friday. Excited for what the weekend is going to bring. Everything kind of, you know, there's like... It's like you've hit the top of the hill and you're going downhill and it's going quick and it's fun. And also, yeah, it's the prekend if you've seen Succession. I just like using the term prekend.
I've never seen it, but I do like that word.
I've never heard that. Yeah. I like that. Thursdays used to be dollar drink night up in Lake Tahoe, and I loved dollar night. I'll tell you what. What a great time. But of course, hey, Kind of Funny best friends, I'm back. It's Monday, and you just had an incredible Kind of Funny Games Daily with these two incredible human beings. But the fun doesn't have to stop right now. We have our Super Chat segment where I jump into the chat with all of you. Of course, you can Super Chat over on YouTube with your questions, comments, and concerns if you want to dive a little bit deeper into one of today's news stories. Or if you have some questions in the gaming world for these two, please let me know in the YouTube Super Chat. Or over on Twitch, you can subscribe at the Tier 1 through 3 level or even with the new Hype Chat feature to get your questions read and heard. Of course, the big question on everybody's mind is, what's your game of the year? Right now, Lucy James, we'll start with you. What is the game of the year right now for you?
I mean, my big question was going to be, why are you in the void? What's going on?
They kicked me out. They won't let me go back on stage anymore, which is unfortunate because when I try to look at you, Lucy, now I look this way and I'm not looking at you, you know? And so, like, I have to look this way, but I'm not looking at a screen, so I'm just looking at a wall. It's a whole thing. It's a Kevin and Nick thing. I think they're trying to limit my power. They're not letting me go big anymore, you know?
They've locked you in there. I'm sorry.
Mike, is that better
a lot of
for
people,
you?
A lot of people say, does Mike have a cold? You know what I mean? And I don't. I don't. I feel great. I was in... Austin, Texas, Lucy James. Oh, I had some tacos. Ooh. I had some barbecue. I got to see some incredible human beings, some best friends. It was a good weekend.
Oh, it sounds it. I was following your tweets and everything. It looked like a real good time.
Thank you. I'm not a big tweeter, Lucy James. Sometimes I just like to be in the moment, and I find myself when I start to get the tweet whipped up, Devontae, you know what I mean? I get lost in it for too long, and I'm like, man, I got to snap back to reality and go have a good time.
I love that.
I feel that.
Wish I could do that.
Lucy, let's talk.
Oh, game of the year so far.
What's the game of the year? Tell me about it.
You know what? For me so far, Dead Space Remake.
Ooh.
I loved it so much. I mean, I'm having a great time with Dredge. I'm loving Dave the Diver. Final Fantasy 16, Resident Evil 4 Remake, all fantastic. But there's just something about going back on the Ishimura.
Mm-hmm.
It was so well done. And it's kind of set, you know, between that and Resident Evil, set a benchmark for what I want remakes to be.
Yeah.
I like that.
But I also think that Dead Space is a game that just is timeless, so.
Yeah. I have a lot of respect for it, even as someone that doesn't like to play horror games.
But that's the thing. It's not even
Listen, I know where you're going to go. You're going to try to get me to play it. And then next thing I know, I'm having nightmares. And I'm calling you up just being like, I've got no sleep and it's all your fault.
But the thing is, I think really it kind of follows the Resident Evil of, oh, it's gonna lean into horror for maybe the first third.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just an action game.
Okay.
I mean, there comes a point where you're shooting that giant big... like a giant big necromorph thing and you're kind of outside and you're in the zero G and you're like, oh, this is just an action game. I think it's a confidence thing as well. Because once you get over, like, obviously at the very beginning, you have no ammo, you're very weak. And then there's a point you always hit where you're like, oh, I can go toe to toe with these guys.
Yeah.
So that's mine. What is yours?
I'll play the game. Mine, this is a hard one because for me, I want to give the default answer and just go Tears of the Kingdom. Even though I haven't beaten it yet, I'm still having such a blast with it. And it is the game that's just like when I think about the experiences I've had so far, that's such a big standout. If I'm not giving the default answer, Hi-Fi Rush still has like a place in my heart.
I can't believe that was this year.
Yeah, I had to like remind myself, but yeah, that was this year. But I am worried that it will get like overtaken or something. Mm. Like by the time I finally give Final Fantasy 16 a try, like is that going to swoop in and just like take both of those answers out of contention for me? It's going to be hard towards the end of the year for sure.
Every time I play something new, and all the stuff I've been playing this year has been incredible. Mm-hmm. But every time I play something and it's really good, I'm like, oh, December's going to be tricky.
Yeah. I might have to just give a tie.
Yeah. 10 games of the year.
Yeah. I was just going to say a three-way tie, but you're 10 games of the year. That's wild.
Mm-hmm. Mike, what's yours?
Yeah. Mine is Final Fantasy 16 right now. I'm having a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. This is my first ever Final Fantasy, and I'm loving the combat mixed with the story. I am excited to go beat after beat and just continue pushing forward. So really loving that. And then Dave the Diver, surprisingly, really stealing a lot of my love. I like Dave the Diver. I think the deep sea exploration adventure mixed with the sushi restaurant management sim is a ton of fun and a great idea. This is like a must play game right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy it right when I get back. I'm going to buy it because I didn't bring my Steam Deck with me on this trip. So I'll buy it right when I get home.
Got to have it. And I will say one thing, Lucy. A lot of people know me. I'm going to put it out there. I'm really happy to see that Rock Hay City was not the worst game of the year. Crime Boss Rock Hay City, better than what people think. Not as bad as Gollum.
Oh, God. You know, I feel like I just Eternal Sunshined Gollum from my mind.
I didn't even play it.
I'm still waiting on a code. I want a code. I want to play it, y'all. So at one point, I'm going to buy it and just say, forget it. I'm just going to buy it and support the team over there.
Cancel whatever you have planned for today's stream and just play Gollum.
Another great one. Yeah, today, of course, you can see I'm in the lab right now. We're setting up. We're going to play Outlast Trials with the team here. And Lucy, I don't know if you've played it. I was telling Devontae about it. This game is a ton of fun. They did a really good job with this. When you're looking for a co-op horror experience, I think Outlast Trials is probably at the top of my list when it comes to, hey, you should play this game because it's really freaking dope.
I'm excited for that one. I think I have code for it. I just haven't had a chance to get into it. But
guys and your scary games, man.
I love a scary game.
Love a good scary game.
Talk about more farming cozy games.
give me a good recommendation on a fun farming cozy game.
Disney Dreamlight Valley. It's on Game Pass. Play it.
Devontae has been sounding the drum for that game for a long time. Apparently it's great.
Yeah.
I haven't played it.
You and Joey Noel. Joey Noel loves it as well. Yeah. She loves that one as well. I'm a big sim and park creator, so I'm looking forward to trying out Park Beyond. It doesn't look like it lit the world on fire like I wanted it to, but I'm always looking for a good sim or park builder, so I want to check that one out, and then I'll go back to The Sims anytime.
The Sims, the horse stuff is coming out in a couple weeks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
So excited for that one. It's my every time they release a new big expansion, I become hyper-fixated on The Sims again. But Roots of Patcha, sim game where it's basically Stardew Valley-esque, but you are starting in an ancient civilization, so you have to basically, like, discover time and writing and all this kind of stuff. So you are basically building this civilization. Hmm. Played that at Summer Game Fest last year. I downloaded it for my flight, but I didn't get around to it, so I want to give that a go. And also, there's another one. I forget what it's called, but you are basically, it's like a city sim, but you're building a village on the top of a big walking
Wandering Village.
Wandering Village.
Yeah, I played the demo for that one.
Yeah, I played that at GDC, and that team over there is really excited to share that game with the world. It looks really, really good.
Yeah,
some DLC coming up too. Mm.
Well, of course, chat, don't forget, you can get involved. You can have your questions heard if you want to ask Lucy or Devontae any sort of questions. While we're here during this Super Chat segment, please get them in the chat. You can Super Chat as well to get it right up at the tippy top, and I'll jump right into it. Lucy, I want to stick on The Sims for just a moment.
Hello.
What do you like to do when you play The Sims? Are you more of an HGTV girl where you renovate the house and, like, make it look nice? Do you play The Sims itself and, like, control their life and world? What do you like to get lost in?
So Sims 1 was definitely more of a balance of building and story mode. Sims 2 was definitely story mode kind of pretty much all the way. Because Sims 2 had the best. Oh, it's so frustrating. Like, I love The Sims 4. I think they've done a fantastic job turning that game around. But if you look back at what you could do in The Sims 2 in terms of animations, in terms of character interactions, in terms of... And I know they just put this in the latest expansion, but, like, you could form memories. So if your Sim had its first kiss, it would remember and it would think about it fondly.
Nice.
Sims 3 didn't get me so much because my PC just could basically never run it. But Sims 4, I'm way more into building just because I think the tools are way better. I think as well the way that the gallery is... just right there. I can very easily just grab a building, put it in, and then spruce it up to my taste. But with the cottage living expansion, and now with the upcoming stable stuff, have a ranch. I'm gonna have, you know, it depends. I really want to have the full experience of The Sims, but there are so many expansion packs and stuff now, I don't have them all. But I'm in balance. Mike, what about you?
I am all about designing the house. You know, I like to pretend like I'm the two property brothers, and I'm in there. I'm changing up the rooms. I'm changing up the decor. I'm putting in furniture. I'm all about it. I love it so much.
Have you played House Flipper?
You know what? It's on my list. It's on my list of games for us to play. Have you played that one? How is it?
Let me know. I enjoy House Flipper. And with Steam Next Fest, I played House Flipper 2, which is coming out sometime this fall. And I like a lot of what they changed in that game. You have flipper sense, so you can you can highlight the walls that, like, you need to demolish and paint and stuff like that. It kind of helps you navigate it while you're renovating. It's some nice improvements.
I think that's pretty sweet. Did you ever try Bear and Breakfast?
Yes,
Devontae,
love that.
I know you're into these games.
Yeah, I love that one. I didn't like finish it because I like started it. Fell in love with it and then got a Steam Deck and wanted to play it on Steam Deck, but it hadn't got...
It didn't work at the
beginning. It didn't get, like, the controller update yet, so I need to, like, go back to it now that it finally has that and has had some other quality of life stuff thrown in there. But, yeah, I was even thinking of buying the, like, plush. I think they tweeted that there was, like, a plush of the bear out. And I'm one of those suckers that bought the plush of the cult from the lamb from Cult of the Lamb.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that was, like, my favorite game of last year. So I have that around. Even, like, Jingles, my dog thinks it's for him all the time. I'm like, no, dude, I better not find you chewing on this.
Yeah, put it out of his reach.
Yeah, it's pretty high up right now.
Since we're on the fun sim games, I have another one, Blooming Casino. Simulator, I believe, is a casino sim that has nothing but animals as all the human beings walking around your casino. So I thought that was kind of cool. I really am into, you know, coming from Tahoe, they have the big casino business and nightlife over there. So I've always wanted to run my own casino. So yeah, Blooming Business Casino is the game on Steam right now. And it has, like, nothing but animals as all of your people. And you can, like, put the roulette table, the slots all over the floor. I think that's a great idea and one I want to get it lost into for sure.
Yeah, that looks cool. Putting that on my radar as if I need any more of these type of games to play. But that's dope. I'm going to check that out.
Let's switch up the conversation. Let's talk about games you're looking forward to. So, of course, Devontae, I'll start with you. What is the most anticipated game of the year now as we look forward to? And what's a sleeper hit that people might not know about?
So for me, I'm going to say Starfield. I want to see if it lives up to, you know, what they're saying it's going to be. Runner-up for me would be, like, Lies of P. It did, like, surprise me when I've played the demo. And when it comes to a sleeper, I'm going to go back to my sim bag and pull out City Skylines 2. I think I've been watching a lot of the videos that they have going up on their YouTube channel, talking about the new features that are coming into the game and just giving, like, dev deep dives into some of the features. And I like what they're doing with that, and I think it's going to be a fantastic sequel. So I think that's going to kind of fly under a lot of people's radar this year.
That's a great poll right there. Lucy James, what do you got for me? What should I be writing down?
Oh, God. I mean, Baldur's Gate 3, for sure.
Yes.
It's also coming out on my birthday now. They moved it.
Nice.
So I like to think that Larian did just me. I'm kidding. Baldur's Gate 3.
That's nice.
Alan Wake 2, obviously. Thirsty Suitors is mine.
Oh, yeah.
Under the,
great poll.
Not under the radar, but I think more people should be paying attention to it. Looks great. And that's coming out in November. But yeah, also Starfield. Starfield is like, everyone's got to play Starfield, you know?
Yes.
I don't need to tell you all the lovely best friends about Starfield. Everyone is like poised and ready.
Everyone's, all eyes on Starfield.
All eyes on Todd's jacket.
Oh my God. I'll tell you what, Lucy James, you know, we got to meet that guy in person. That guy, he's great looking. He's got a great jacket. He's got a great sense of style. He's like Roger. I don't know if you guys noticed today. Mm-hmm. Roger always has like some nice jacket on, maybe a cool little two-piece. This guy's just got it dialed in on the sense of style. Oh, yeah. I'm over here wearing a Def Jam t-shirt. I have no style. I have nothing like those guys.
Listen, man. You look great. The shirt is dope. You know, you can't like undersell the shirt, especially like the shot you had like a couple minutes ago. You could see the character's eyes just being angry around the microphone. It was fantastic.
You knew it's right. Yes, Lucy took mine with Baldur's Gate 3. I'm very excited for Baldur's Gate. I cannot wait to play it. Similar to you guys, Starfield, I mean, I've been yelling it's got to be a game of a generation, and I do expect that. I think with what Todd and the team have promoted, it seems like the scale is going to be grand beyond our belief, so I think it's going to be something special. Now, does it run? Is it fun and engaging? That will all come down to release day, but I'm excited to see it right now. He's got me pumped up and hyped up on it right now.
Yeah. And worst case,
Andy, what you got? Andy's just doing stuff in the background. Don't worry. We're just pressing buttons. Andy, do you have a question for Lucy James at all?
No, not really. Hey, Devontae. Hey, Lucy. Hey.
Damn.
Andy's here. He just says hello. She says, damn.
Oh.
Like disappointed in you.
Sorry, I'm doing stuff.
All right, let's talk big movie releases. Oppenheimer or Barbie, you two? Which one do you guys want to see the most?
No contest.
Oh, man. So I'm going to be at Comic-Con, so I'm going to miss the Boppenheimer double bill that everyone's doing. No. Because that's the question. Do you go see Barbie first, or do you go see Oppenheimer first?
Barbie first.
But that's the thing.
Barbie for sure.
I would say you'd go see Oppenheimer first. Mimosas. Barbie.
Mm. Okay.
Kind of reset the day. Reset the day after that. Yeah,
you
like want to
end on a high note. You want to end on the vibes. I want to see them both so much. I will be that IMAX person for sure for Oppenheimer. Oh, it looks so good.
The weird thing, I haven't seen an Oppenheimer trailer, I don't think.
I've only seen the first one. But it's one of those ones where, you know, like for... Final Fantasy 16, for example. Mm-hmm. I saw that first trailer and I was like, I don't need to see anything else.
Yeah, you're just
I'm in. And that was the exact same for me with Oppenheimer. I mean, Christopher Nolan. I still haven't seen Tenet.
Yeah, same. Which came out at a weird time. So.
But I'm so stoked for Oppenheimer. What a cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like know the cast. I know it's Nolan, but I haven't seen any trailers. I only seen one Barbie trailer. But and like you just said, you see one and then like you're in.
Yeah.
Plus the marketing for that movie has been ridiculous and you can't go anywhere without seeing something about it.
That was a really smart... I mean, the marketing for Barbie is kind of reaching that fever pitch for me at the moment. But the really smart one was just the pink on a billboard with a small B in the corner. I was like, that's so smart. When your brand reaches critical mass like that and you don't even have to put the name of the movie on it, incredible. But no. Mike, what about you?
I'm a little worried I'll fall asleep during Oppenheimer, and I have a good feeling I will, you know? So I'm a Barbie
guy.
Even in
IMAX with
that.
The big...
You know what? Here's the catch, Lucy. I think in IMAX it might be a little bit different because they don't let you pull your seat back in the IMAX, so I'll be like straight up the whole time. So we'll see. But I did fall asleep in a 4DX movie once, and
Which
I was
one?
Rattling the whole time. Jurassic World Evolution or whatever the last one was. So I could fall asleep in anything if I need to. But yeah, I'm a little worried I'll fall asleep during Oppenheimer. So I'm a Barbie boy. I'm gonna go there and enjoy that. I think it's gonna be a great time.
Sweet.
Let's
I fell asleep
on.
In John Wick 4, and I don't feel good about that.
Oh.
But it was the end of GDC, and I was very tired.
Okay. At least you have an excuse. Yeah, yeah. We'll accept it.
Let's move on to the next one. Lucy James, I need to know, do I need to play Alan Wake 1 before Alan Wake 2?
I would honestly say you need to play, if you've played Control, right?
I actually have not played Control.
I would say you play Control rather than Alan Wake.
Okay.
Alan Wake 1 is still a lot of fun. The changes, when they re-released it last year, it still very much feels like a 2010 game in some regards. Like, at some point, it is just dudes running at you, and you've got the flashlight, and then you've got the gun. And it kind of feels a little bit dated. But Control takes all the threads from all the Remedy games and kind of puts them together. And then there is the AWE expansion, which ties in Alan Wake 2 and Control, which is great. And also, it feels way better to play. Control is just so fun. Like, when you get the hover thing, and when you get, like, some of the different weapon service pistol variations, it's just really fun. Also, Kojima's in it. There's, like, a little mission with Hideo Kojima.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty dope.
He just does the voiceover, though. No, you don't see him. But, like, there's also the ashtray maze, which is one of the coolest levels in a game ever. So I thoroughly recommend that you play Control.
Yeah, that's good to hear, because I've played Control, beat Control, didn't really have any interest in going back to Alan Wake 1. Mm-hmm. So great to hear that I can just slide into Alan Wake 2. And
I mean, honestly, you could. There are really good recap videos on YouTube where you can just all, and they, because there's a lot of threads that they left untangled, obviously, from Alan Wake 1, and it's been 13 years. So you could just watch one of those and be like, okay, I know who Barbara Jagger is.
Okay.
And I know what DFS is and whatever. And then you just go into Control and you're like, sick.
Control 2, when?
Couple years, probably. They're working on it. I think they said they're doing another Control. But yeah, Alan Wake 1.
We have a super chat question coming in from Final Fantasy 16 fan.
Ooh.
Hey, you.
Wonder what it's
see
about.
A game for sale a week before release date. Do you attempt to buy it, or do you let the store know? Okay. Oh, we have a question here. A little moral question.
Oh, no.
Hey, you see a game for sale a week before the release date. Do you attempt to buy it, or do you let the store know? Lucy James, you start. Are you going to tell the store and raise your hand and say, hey, maybe there's a problem here, or are you going to take advantage of that deal steal?
You know, as someone, I mean, is it like a small independent store? I'm not one of those people who is going to stream it.
Yeah.
I used to go in the UK. I don't know if they're still around, but there was a shop called Shop 2, an online store, and they were very well known for shipping things ahead of time. So I always used to get stuff a little bit early.
Oh, okay.
But I wouldn't, you know, put it all online or anything. I'm not that person. But if you get to play a little bit, it's always fun. I just wouldn't be a snitch.
Same. I have to say, yeah, in high school, there was a shop that would, you know, break street date, kind of just for like a select amount of people, it seemed, but it would break street date, and I did get a couple of games early, even like GTA 4 I got early, I want to say like maybe even like a week early. And yeah, you know, just keep quiet.
I was going to say, did the power of Rockstar come down upon that
Don't
shop?
Spoil anything for people. Yeah, I don't think I would say anything. Does that make us bad people?
No, spoiling things
would make us
bad people. And I think, I think, so looking, if you think back to when we were buying games, you know, when you were younger and we didn't necessarily have the internet wasn't as reactionary and as like, I got there first as it is now. I don't think this would even be really part of the conversation. But now everyone is like just dying to leak stuff. Everyone is dying to be like, oh, I want the hits of someone put the whole of Gollum up, you know, like a good month before release. But yeah, I think back then it was an innocent time. Just want to play the games.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't putting it out there for clout.
Yeah.
But now, League Central.
Yeah. It did feel good to like get achievements and stuff before like anyone else.
But then, I mean, even sometimes you used to, I remember, you know, 10 years ago or so, if you got a code early, certain games you would have to be whitelisted for to play them.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they would see you online on Xbox Live and Xbox would ban you if you went whitelisted.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
So
I would. So I think there was a couple that I would like play offline just in case.
Like unplug that Ethernet cable.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mike, what would you do?
I'd call the authorities immediately and I'd tell everybody. No, I'm just kidding.
Snitch.
You know, it's so funny, Lucy. I've never been in that situation. At my back home in my local shop, it was a GameStop. So like they were pretty on the level all the time. So we never had I've never been in a moment where anyone was selling it ahead of time that I ever saw before. So I think that's pretty fun. Pretty wild stories from you two. I've never had that situation.
Our criminal past.
I would buy it and I'd walk outside and be like, yo, they're selling Mario early. Come over here, you know?
Yeah, we would say nothing. Yeah, we knew it would be breaking street day, but we wouldn't tell anyone else that that shop was doing it.
Let's talk about shops right here. Of course, Lucy, you're in SF, and I've noticed there's not many video game stores here, if any, besides GameStop. Of course, Devontae, I want to know about your local stop. Tell me about some local stops or local shops that you guys love around town.
In San Francisco, there aren't any anymore. The big GameStop on Market closed down a few years ago. There is one, I think, in the Mission that I went to last year because I was filming some stuff for GameStop and went there. Honestly, I am a digital download person these days. Yeah. I'm very impatient. The last physical copy of a game that I bought was Cyberpunk. And actually, that worked out well for me because I have the disc PS5, and I played Cyberpunk PS4 disc on the PS5, and it was great.
Nice. So
everyone else was having a hell of a time, and I was like, ooh, maybe one crash every 3 hours.
Mm.
What about you? Do you got any? Like,
not really. I'm also digital, but when I'm looking for something old, I'll dip into some, and there are some like pretty good retro spots not too far from me in Jersey. But if I can't find something, it's just like New York has a bunch of them. So yeah. I'm like a quick short train ride away from just walking around NYC and getting like a retro game from over there. I did that after I played Breath of the Wild. Like, I was like, I'm going to play all the Zeldas I didn't beat. Very ambitious of me. And I did not make it. but I did end up like going to NYC to like find a copy of Wind Waker to like play on Wii. And I also did that with the Def Jam Fight for New York. Mike,
oh, hell yeah.
Mike, sure. I went and found that at a shop nearby. So that's basically it for me. It's just like if I want something old, then I'll get it physically like that. But if I want something new, it's usually digital.
Yeah. I mean, other than Cyberpunk, the only physical game I bought was the Metal Gear Solid collection because you couldn't buy it anywhere digitally. For Xbox 360, which I would then play on my Xbox One to stream it. But then, I mean, otherwise, I will get physical copies of my favorite games, but only under, like, specific circumstances. So I went to Japan, and Tam got me an original PS2 Japanese copy of Okami.
Okay.
And the last time I was in Japan, I got an original PS2 copy of Persona 4.
Nice.
So those are just my little, you know, the goats. Yeah. Best of all time. So I just kind of want those, but other than that, yeah, I mean, as someone who has moved across the world and I have dumped so much of my stuff at my mom's place, I you know, I kind of have that more like, oh, less is more mindset these days, which
for
is
sure.
Sad.
Yeah. But it's
a
reality.
Costs a lot of money.
Yeah. Moving in general is hard. And yeah, having a bunch of like digital, you know, discs and cases and all of that stuff.
Mass
even if
Effect
you put
helmets.
It, even if you put it in a binder, yeah. It's still a lot to move around. So that also was what kind of converted me into like the digital lifestyle and also laziness. You know,
oh yeah, it's
get up, there. Change a disc, nah,
just download
just,
it.
You know,
I got good internet.
Press a button,
here.
Yeah, got good internet. It's fine.
I like that, you two. Well, of course, we're gonna end today's super chat segment with one final question / a nice comment coming in from Raymond K. Writes and says, I love Lucy on the FPS pod. She has the best takes.
Thank you so much.
Very kind something of you. Nice. Nice. Of course, you can always catch Lucy doing some dope stuff. And now you've been introduced into Devontae's world and all the dope stuff that he does. So, yep. Best friends, go follow these two incredible human beings on their video game journey. And you can have fun conversations with them and check out all the dope work that they're doing around the globe. But this has been your Monday Kind of Funny Games Daily and Super Chat segment. So we're going to say goodbye. We're going to transition into the lab in just mere moments. But, of course, you'll notice if you're watching on YouTube, you don't have to go find a new link. You don't got to go anywhere. We're going to keep this stream going the whole afternoon. So if you have any best friends that jump into the stream and say, hey, where's Kind of Funny Games Daily? Where do I go? Tell them to scrub back, rewind all the way to the top of the show. They can watch Games Daily with these two incredible human beings, and then they can catch up on some Outlast Trials with us. But this will end today's Super Chat segment. So for these two, goodbye, everyone. See ya.
Later. Bye.